An organization with what you can call troops on the ground in Gaza, sent there to help Palestinians in the war they started with the stated intention of annihilating Israel, has lost seven of its soldiers. That's how m the media should be reporting about what happened with the aid, the car of humanitarian, so-called humanitarian aid workers in Gaza that. Who died from a bomb, obviously not intentional, but that's a different point. And just to make it clear how clear it is to them that that they are part of the world of the war effort, here's the statement from the CEO of World Central Kitchen, the organization that from whom these aid workers were, and this is the all right, hang on a second. Daniel, do you have it? All right, I got it. So she said, this is not only an attack against World Central Kitchen, this is an attack on humanitarian organizations showing up in the most dire of situation where food is being used as a weapon of war. This is unforgivable. Yes. Food is being used as a weapon of war. You cannot fight if you have no food, if you're hungry. You need food for strength to hold up the arms that you then use to kill innocent civilians, as the Palestinians do whenever they get the chance to do so. So this is they are an active part of the war effort. And what happens sometimes when you're an active part of the war effort is sometimes you may die. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 179 of the war in Israel. Mark, your thoughts. I'm joined by Mark Pellegrino. Mark, your thoughts on this on this incident that just happened.
Yeah, to me, humanitarian aid should only go to innocent human beings, people who are actual victims of aggression, not the initiators of force, not the initiators of violence, not cultures that are saturated with bigotry and hatred and start wars perpetually, not just on October 7th, but let's face it, the Palestinian Arabs have been at war with Jews in Israel. Since the fucking 19th century, and they have not stopped. If anything, the world community, by catering to the quote unquote suffering of the Palestinian people brought on by themselves, are exacerbating the situation. They give Hamas hope that the world's community is turning against Israel, that the world is becoming demoralized by the constant excesses of the Palestinian PR machine showing dead children, which any sound, reasonable person would blame on Hamas and on the Palestinian people for putting their children in danger and refusing to surrender. That's what a sound population would do. But instead, we live in a world dominated by altruism where it's more humanitarian to help the enemy. More humanitarian and good to help the indecent and the evil, which, quite frankly, the Palestinian people are. I say that across the board. That doesn't mean there aren't one or two or a few a small percentage of Palestinians that hate and despise Hamas, hate and despise the culture that the Palestinians have created over the last few decades. For those people, I hope they get the balls to fight and die trying to kill Hamas. So long as there's no rebel movement, so long as there's no surrender, that means Hamas is still strong, the ideology is still strong, and any effort to aid and abet them is not humanitarian at all. It's aiding and abetting an enemy, a group of murderers who want to continue killing in the future. You're not a humanitarian by that measure, you're an accomplice to murder.
Yeah, and this is not something that's unknown to them. So here's a statement from Project Hope, sorry about that, which operates, this is from The Guardian, which operates clinics in Rafah and Deir al-Balah. They've issued this statement. They have said that they've suspended humanitarian work for 3 days pending a security review. Daniel also, the producer Daniel, mentioned that the World Central Kitchen is also suspending its activities there. This is a statement from the executive vice president of Project Hope. Quote, "We are horrified and heartbroken by the tragic killing of seven innocent humanitarians in Gaza who were bombed while traveling in marked vehicles after facilitating life-saving food delivery operations in Deir al-Balah."
Oh.
It gets worse. Believe me, it gets depending on how you look at it, it gets clearer. Aid workers are protected under international humanitarian law and should never be targeted. Nearly 200 aid workers have been killed in Gaza since October, including our late colleague, and then they have his name, making Gaza one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a humanitarian worker. This is unacceptable and demands accountability through the International Criminal Court. So, if you think they are just there helping people without realizing what it means to help specific people in a time of war, I think that says it. If that doesn't say it, there's two paragraphs to this. Here's the second one. Millions of people in Gaza are on the brink of famine. Viewers of this channel will have seen us do two debunking videos about the idea of them being on a brink of famine, and of course, millions is another bit of invention there. It continues, "To prevent more senseless deaths, aid workers and aid shipments must be protected. We have paused all programming in Deir al-Balah and Rafah for the next 3 days in solidarity with World Central Kitchen, and to reassess the security situations, we prioritize our staff members' safety. In order to allow humanitarian organizations to safely provide life-saving care, we reiterate our call for an immediate and permanent ceasefire." So like I said, it starts bad, it gets worse, and it gets to the point where they say what we want is for Israel to stop its attempts at preventing Hamas from carrying out what it promised, which is to repeat the October 7th attacks again and again until Israel is annihilated. This is what these so-called humanitarian aid organizations are working for, Mark.
Yeah, when you're sending humanitarian aid to Ukraine, who has been viciously attacked by a despicable, evil tyrant and his cohorts, that's humanitarian aid. When you're sending aid to Hamas and the Palestinian people, who have been, at this point, everyone knows, completely united in their desire to annihilate Israel, which means murdering Jews until none are left. You are not aiding, you're not sending humanitarian aid, you're an accomplice to murder. And the fact that we live in such an upside down age, an age so perverted by altruism that anybody could in a million years think it is morally viable to send aid to Nazis. Like if people sent aid to Nazis to try to relieve the German population of the suffering that they brought upon themselves by murdering Europeans, by murdering Jews, by attacking other countries, they would have been tried and hopefully hanged as treasonous human beings. They would have been on the wrong side of moral history, as these people are. And yet altruism is so deeply entrenched now. It's bought. It's the Kool-Aid that everybody's supped. Now we have these perverse examples, and the world community simply echoes the fact that these people are just trying to help. They are trying to help murderers and killers. That's what they're trying to help, the cause of Hamas. There should be no calls for a Israel ceasefire. There should be calls for Hamas surrender. There should be calls for the Palestinians to renounce violence. There's this concurrent movement along with altruism to infantilize the Palestinians and hold them to zero accountability, including the positions they put their children in by not rebelling against Hamas, by electing Hamas, by not rebelling against them, by supporting them 100%, and by not surrendering en masse as we speak. But it is the Palestinians' fault for any children that dies. It's the Palestinians' fault for any IDF soldier that dies. It's the Palestinians' fault for any discomfort they may be feeling right now. And I think it should be a great deal more discomfort, because it's that discomfort that may bring them to Jesus for that moment. They'll have a Jesus, come to Jesus moment, where they'll realize that this ideology, this pan-Arabic Islamo-fascist ideology, sucks. It leads to nothing but death, and it leads to persecution from their own leaders to them. There's nothing but unhappiness. It's not a life to live. If they want to join the community of nations and become free and trade and prosper like other enemies of civilization have done since they were vanquished completely, the Japanese and the Germans, vanquished completely until they gave up. Now they're productive members of the world. Well, Palestinians have not been productive members of the world since their inception. And since the 60s, when they were born as an identity, but before that, they had no productivity. They produced nothing. They gave nothing to the world. And they will continue to give nothing to the world but violence until they renounce it. And there can't be a stop, a cessation of defense until they have this come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, and the comparison to Germany, to Nazi Germany, of course, is a necessary one, because Nazi Germany as a society decided to exterminate the Jews, and the Palestinians as a society decided to exterminate the Jews. There are a few differences. The Jews the Palestinians are trying to exterminate are armed. It's a bit more difficult for them. The Palestinians are not as well armed as the Germans were. But another major difference, you see different factions among the Palestinians, but you do not see opposition to this idea of we need to exterminate the Jews. You did see that in Germany. You saw real opposition in Germany. People risked their lives and got killed. And of course, that's not what ended the war. But you live in such a society as an individual. If you're a rational person, you do one of two things. You either leave or you fight against the government, knowing it's a risk to your life. Palestinians aren't doing that. Those who are left are claiming refugee status, even, the children and grandchildren of those who left since Israel was, came into existence.
That's a very important distinction to make. Through many of the countries conquered by Nazis that were still saturated with anti-Semitism, there existed within those countries resistance movements. In Vichy, France, there was the French resistance. In Germany, there were pockets of resistance movements. Even in Poland, there were pockets of resistance movements. The Bielski brothers were one of these. In the movie Defiance, they did a movie about them called Defiance. They fought against the Nazis. No such movement exists in either Gaza or the West Bank. What does that tell you about the people? What does that tell you? As Douglas Murray recently said in another great interview, where he said, Hamas was elected by the people when he was holding the Palestinians accountable for their actions. They elected Hamas. They have not rebelled against Hamas. They continue to support their aims. The interviewer said, well, it's a difficult thing to do, to resist. Yes, it's always difficult to resist tyranny. And yet people do it. They do it in China to this day. They do it in Hong Kong to this day. They're doing it in Taiwan to this day. The Epoch Times is a Chinese dissident-owned newspaper that does the very same things, resistance movements, on the mainland of China and in Hong Kong itself, and are tortured, and their presses are beaten and burned, and they're attacked. Yes, because that's what tyrants do when you resist. But there is no such movement in Gaza. And that should say everything about what the people believe and what they think and how much further the war effort must go.
Yeah. The whole point of, it's a difficult thing to do, to resist tyranny. Yeah. It's terrible if you find yourself living under tyranny, but then the only thing that matters is resisting your living there, either in the form of getting out or in the form of fighting against it. What else matters in your life when you're living under tyranny, except coming to a point where you no longer live under tyranny. Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, Bonnie, for the super chats. Just a point on the these organizations putting their so-called humanitarian aid on pause. I'm not buying this. This is one of the this is a trick, since in their statements they are making political statements, they are making statements on where they stand in this war. They stand with the Palestinian people, for, you know, for their victory over Israel, very, very clearly. Yeah, this statement is a way to put pressure. When they say we're putting it on pause to see, to improve the security situation, what they mean is we're waiting for the world to put, for Israel's so-called allies to put even more pressure on Israel to reduce its attempt to defeat Hamas, as Israel puts it, or as I would put it, what needs to be done is defeating the Palestinians. Israel is already, time and time again, choosing not to achieve proper military goals because it would cost lives of so-called innocents. And the result of that is that now, 6 months into the war, Hamas and the Palestinians are still able to fire rockets into Israel. They are still killing soldiers. They're still, you know, free to operate in the West Bank, and terrorist attacks come out of there all the time. There are still 200,000 Israeli refugees in Israel who had to leave their homes because they're close to borders with Arabs that Israel doesn't want to fight back against. So, or doesn't want to fight back against properly enough to ensure their safety. So I think, unfortunately, as Israel has shown over the past 6 months, Israel will fold. This is something that Israel will has already apologized for, even though they're looking into it. We know that many of these stories that come out of Gaza are bullshit. This seems to be a true story, but Israel, you know, Israel is already apologizing. Already, you know, Netanyahu issued a statement, which included the line that was the media focused on here, which is, you know, something like this: these things happen in war. But also, he, you know, he said it shouldn't, and they're investigating it. So yeah, unfortunately, this is one of the many news stories. We've talked about how headlines affect policies of other countries towards Israel. One day, you know, they defund UNRWA because it has been uncovered that UNRWA actively was involved on October 7th, or some of the workers. And then they fund UNRWA again because of whatever headline there was about a made-up massacre around an aid convoy. Mark.
I mean, altruism is so perverse. If you give in to it at all, you will lose. That because that's what altruism is about. It's about losing. You must lose to be good. Israel has to stop apologizing for not completely adhering to the altruist moral code. It has to jettison that code and go exclusively for its own rational self-interest, which is to completely and utterly destroy Hamas. And it's likely to have to do that alone because every other country on earth, the semi-innocent free states, are victims of altruism, and the unfree states exploit altruism for gain, which is precisely what this pathological moral code does. It paralyzes the decent and enables the indecent to exploit the decent to gain values they haven't earned. Give it up. It is a fucking loser proposition. It will kill you if you continue to abide by it. That's its intent, is to kill the decent and the good and to raise up the bad. That's its intent. So stop it. I personally think it's perverse to allow aid to go into Gaza. I think it's perverse to consider them to be equal on the plane of the Israeli lives. They are not, in the same way the German lives were not equal to our own. They aren't. The enemy who attacks you, who's driven by a murderous ideology, is not living a fully human life. Sorry, they're not. They're living part savage, part animal. And that part of them has to realize, and the only way it can realize that it's wrong is by suffering. And they're going to have to suffer.
Yes. Thank you, Politicas, for the super chat. Politicas says, Shalom, H1B, R2D2, C3PO. Nice to see you. Love listening to Jewish thinking. Thanks. Not Jewish thinking, if you're talking about us as opposed to anything in the chat, it is atheist thinking, but.
But it's thinking. It's thinking
Yeah.
about human life and human life as a priority, how we understand what proper states are, and what the functions of a proper state are. Hamas follows none of those. They do not follow under the rubric of human to me, which is a rational being, not one that resorts to violence to get what it wants. That's a subhuman. That's savage. And I'm not afraid to call them that. And the rest of the world shouldn't be afraid to call them that. They are not equal to innocent people living productive lives. They are not.
Yeah, thank you, Wes, for the super chat. If you want to see what not thinking sounds like, the UK government, I'm reading this as well from The Guardian. It's great to have these leftists inform us about everything that's going on. The UK government has issued a statement after summoning the Israeli ambassador. In it, the Minister for Development in Africa, Andrew Mitchell, said, quote, "Today, I summoned the ambassador of the Israeli embassy in London to the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office. I set out the government's unequivocal condemnation of the appalling killing of seven World Central Kitchen aid workers, including three British nationals. I requested a quick and transparent investigation shared with the international community and full accountability. I reiterated the need for Israel to put in place an effective deconfliction of a mechanism immediately and urgently to scale up humanitarian access. We need to see an immediate humanitarian pause to get aid in and the hostages out, then progress towards a sustainable ceasefire." I mean, the thing that pisses me off the most in that statement is that they throw in the hostages to say, "Well, yes, we have this long anti-Israel statement accusing Israel of basically anything that it does that might further the goal of releasing the hostages, but more importantly, making sure that Hamas is unable to do this again and that the Palestinians, whatever organization wants to do it, can never do it again." And then they throw in the release the hostages. Don't pretend that that matters to you, Britain, if your position is unequivocal condemnation of something that happens. It happens in war, might be necessary to do sometimes in war, and then throwing the hostages is a
World
something like that.
in the grips of a mind virus. It's in the grips of a social contagion. That's altruism combined with neo-Marxism. They've all sucked the Kool-Aid, and the ambassador to Israel should simply do this. If I were the ambassador to Israel, here is what I would do. I would do that. I would say, kindly fuck off. I'm not interested in your investigation. I'm not interested in anything you have to say. It's illegitimate because you yourself are becoming an accomplice to murderers. Why? Because you're feeling the pressure from your political constituents who know even less about this conflict than you do, and that's saying quite a bit. Dude, this makes me mad. This raises my blood pressure a lot. I gotta tell you, the world is going insane.
Yeah, by the way, condemnations came from other countries as well. Interestingly, there have also been condemnations of an Israeli operation, a bombing of a building in Damascus with an Iranian diplomatic building where a very senior official, Iranian official, was killed. There were condemnations. I just saw a condemnation from Turkey. There was also obviously condemnation from the UN saying this is a violation of international law. Do you need any more information about what the United Nations is? If it condemns Israel, the only free country in the Middle East, in attacking Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, the country behind all these attacks on Israel and on Western ships in the region, and this is what they condemn. They did not condemn Iran for the October 7th attacks, although Iran is behind them.
Look, I got to tell you, I saw the picture of the dead Iranian prick, and I was very pleased with it. I was very pleased with the work that Israel did, and I hope they do it again, because at some point the mullahs are going to get the clue that they're coming for them eventually, and the noose will tighten around their necks, and they'll posture and they'll scream and they'll yell and they'll talk shit. But you know what? We could crush them in 4 days. So I don't expect a reformation on their part, but I do expect the Iranian people, who really are driving for a liberalization of their society, to stand up, particularly the women, the bravest people in the Middle East at this moment, besides the IDF soldiers who are fighting, are the Iranian women in the Middle East who have more balls than any man in Iran, and stand up and they dance and they take off their hijabs and they say, fuck you to the mullahs and the moral police. Those people deserve our support. They are true freedom fighters. They are true. I mean, if feminists can only emulate the strength that those women have, instead of complaining about the things they complain about here, the world would be a much better place. So hopefully Iran and the mullahs are on the way out, and Iran will propel itself into something approaching a liberal democracy and become the second state in that region, and perhaps maybe even an ally of Israel. And then that will compel the dominoes of religious fanaticism and Islamofascism to start falling the way they should, into the trash heap of history.
Yeah, in the defense of Western feminists, some of them have, in some cases, against their will, been called darling by a man. So they know real struggle. But yeah, when the UN stands with the Iranian regime, they're not just standing with the Iranian regime against Israel, which of course they're happy to do. They're standing with the Iranian regime against its victims in Iran. And again, the one place in the Middle East where there is real resistance, which we should support because they are on our side, not just in making the Middle East actually maybe at some point a peaceful place, but you know that we should be on their side in them wanting to live as free individuals. Mark, I know you need to go and we need to go because the reality show, you know, we had a very controversial episode of The Daily Objective. The reality show is going to be less controversial. It's titled In Moral Defense of the Occupation. So, you know, we sometimes we're moderate about things. But yeah, Mark, you have something to say right before you.
I want to say, free Iran, crush Hamas, crush the Houthis. Hezbollah is not made for this world. Send them to the next as quickly as possible, and the world will be a better place. The more of these Iranian massacre planners and mullahs that go the way of Allah, the better for the world. And the more the Palestinians understand that their way of looking at the world and identifying themselves as a beset people who are oppressed by Jews and so will always resort to violence as a means of getting what they want, the more they understand that that is a terrible perspective to hold, and they will understand that the more they suffer, the faster this war could get over, because they'll give it up and maybe enter into the community of productive nations.
Thanks, Mark. That is a positive way to end the show. We're struggling to do that nowadays. So, but we have a very positive episode of the reality show coming up in a minute. We will be back with the Daily Objective again tomorrow. Thanks, and we'll see you soon.
Peace.